Hello, I'm John Hausladen, president of the Minnesota Trucking Association. Welcome back to our podcast, Trucking Success and Safety. In this episode, we hear from Julie Andrich, owner and CEO of King Solutions and Autumn Transport, on continuing a culture of safety when safety has left the building. Julie is a leader who can't be everywhere all at once. She has a split her time leading both Autumn Transport and King Solutions and living life. Listen as Julie relates how to keep things safe even when she or safety has left the building. Let's get into the episode.
Before we dive in, I would like to give you a quick background about how I got here. As Jan mentioned part of this, I started at Autumn Transport in 1995 after graduating from the U of M and spending a few years in restaurant and hospitality. I had no plan or intention to work for my family business. My sister and I often called Autumn our third sister because so much time, effort, and conversation surrounded her as we were growing up. But there was never any pressure or conversation for either of us to join the business, so it was never on my radar. In 1996, my parents had an IT project that they needed help with, and I agreed to come to the office on my days off to build Autumn's first database of information. That sounds pretty fancy, but it basically entailed entering all the phone numbers and addresses from each dispatcher's portfolio phone book, I'm dating myself here a little bit, or Rolodex, I'm dating myself a little more, and I entered all of that information into a software called Act for Windows. Those of us who are over 50 vividly remember those days when we had to read a paper map, use an atlas for routing and mileage, and payphones were still more common than a cell phone. So this database was a big deal back then, especially for a company of our size. I got set up in the dispatch office on a card table with a computer, and while I tried to read the handwriting of these guys, penmanship was clearly not their strong suit, I listened to the dispatchers on the phone problem-solving, negotiating, counseling, arguing, and selling. It was action-packed, and I was hooked. In my first 10 years, I worked in every department and sat in every seat in operations, learning all of the nuances of our four divisions of dispatch, as well as recruiting and safety. The next 10 years, from 2005 to 2015, I was the operations manager and was blessed with the opportunity to learn the back end of the business from my dad, like budgeting, banking, reporting and analytics, while still managing the daily operation. My dad was a true entrepreneur and business guy through and through, so I got a great education from him. During this time, I was still actively involved in every aspect of the operation and covered vacations and PTO for everyone in the ops area. In 2015, when my dad passed after a six-month battle with brain cancer, I became the CEO. I had to quickly learn that the role of CEO meant less hands in the daily operation and more about leading, loving, trusting, and encouraging a team. In 2021, I acquired King Solutions with my husband, Brett, and have been the CEO there for the last 3 years as well. Now that I'm splitting my time between both companies, having a culture of safety is of utmost importance because if you think about it, no matter where I am on any given day, I'm not looking half the time. So how do I keep things safe when I have left the building? Here are the four rules that I live by. Rule number one, make the company values known and repeated frequently. It's funny that one of our core values at Autumn is not safety. We did a core values exercise over 10 years ago, and today they are painted on the wall in large font for all to see as you enter our building. Somehow safety didn't make the cut. I think if we went through that same exercise today, safety would definitely make the list. And so would the word food, because our whole crew loves to cook and eat. Our core values at Autumn are integrity, service, family, and leadership. If you think about it, all of these values encompass safety. After we decided on our final list of values, we had to define what the words meant to us as an organization. Here's what we came up with. Integrity is doing the right thing both personally and professionally, no matter the situation. Service, putting others first and doing everything we can to meet their needs. Family, fostering a culture where everyone is valued and committed to each other's well-being. And leadership, empowering people at all levels of our company to make decisions while promoting the growth of others through positive encouragement, motivation, and support. I truly believe it's crucial not to compromise your values ever. How many of you have gone through the value-driven driving course offered by Great West? If you haven't, I would highly recommend it. We use it as part of our orientation of new contractors when they lease on at autumn, and our whole staff has completed the program as well. The highlight for me of the program talks about and defines the difference between values and priorities. Our priorities can change, but our values never do. It's important to hire people who share your values and then invest in them like family. We can teach people how to do the job, but it's nearly impossible to change a person's core values. At Autumn, we talk about our values all the time. We have weekly stand-up meetings that the whole company participates in, where we share at an individual level what's going on in our lives. This can be personal or professional, and it's always at the discretion of the individual. We celebrate wins together, and we support each other in challenges. Sometimes we talk about our kids' football, or a vacation coming up, or hours of service, or speeding, or bad weather across the United States. We also chirp a lot about the Vikings and the Packers. There is not a week that goes by that our values are not mentioned or referenced in some way. So rule number one, make the company's values known and repeated frequently. Rule number two, I live by the mantra, people respect what you inspect, not what you expect. My dad, Lowell Reeks, was affectionately known for his Lowellisms. And when he passed, the crew at Autumn had a shadow box made with his top 20 most frequently recited ones. When I gave the eulogy at his celebration of life, I talked about this one in particular, as it's one that is ingrained in my daily life. I'll say it again. People respect what you inspect, not what you expect. This does not mean micromanage. If you're going to micromanage, you might as well do the job yourself. And I've never seen a successful team of one. Rather, it means trying to catch people in the act of doing it right and praise them. If you can publicly praise them, even better. We can expect people to do the right thing, provide great service, come to work on time, drive safe, do a proper pre-trip, follow up, and live by the golden rule. But expecting without inspecting leaves your team wondering, am I doing a good job? And does my boss notice or like me? Does anybody really care what I'm doing? I attended a leadership conference years ago, and one of the speakers was Alan Mulally. Mr. Mulally was named CEO of Ford Motor Company in 2006 as the U.S. economy entered the Great Recession. He graduated college as an aerospace engineer and spent 8 years as CEO at Boeing before coming to Ford. He led Ford through incredibly difficult economic times and was the only one of the Detroit Three car makers not to take federal bailout money in 2008. I was so inspired by how simple he made leadership look that I still think about his simple principles today. Mulally noted on his first day at Ford that half the cars in the employee parking lot were not Ford's or Ford brand. This was his first red flag. Half of the staff didn't believe in his brand. He immediately implemented a scorecard system that each department completed on a weekly basis. The scorecard consisted of simple objectives or goals that the department was supposed to hit each week, and the supervisors scored their status with a green, yellow, or red light. Green meant everything was going great, no issues. Yellow meant things were going okay, but maybe running behind schedule or needed tweaking. Red meant we have a problem. Mullally conducted a weekly meeting, and for the first month, and every scorecard came back with all greens. No yellows, no reds. After a few weeks, he asked how this was possible. He received all blank stares in return. He asked the question again, how is this possible? And he was met with silence. He asked the team, we are forecasted to lose $17 billion this year, and our scorecards indicate that nothing's wrong? Finally, one brave soul in the back of the room spoke up and said, I'm afraid if I fill out that scorecard honestly, I'll get fired on the spot. Mullally applauded him for this bravery and honesty and asked him what division he worked in. The supervisor replied, I run the line that makes the focus. Mullally said, the same focus that has had hatchback recalls all year? The supervisor sheepishly replied, yes. What happened as a result of that meeting was revolutionary for the Ford culture. Mullally personally and publicly encouraged the supervisors to go back to the drawing board and complete their scorecards honestly for the meeting the following week. There was no shaming, no yelling, no firing, just honest inspection. At the meeting the following week, the same brave supervisor was the only one with a scorecard that contained any red. The people were aghast. Who could ever admit that things were going so poorly? Then a funny thing happened. That supervisor got a seat right next to Mullally at next week's meeting and every meeting thereafter. His scorecard was used as an example of red equals opportunities, not failures. And the week after that, the scorecards came pouring in like colors of the rainbow. And so it began a culture of inspecting and not expecting. And Mullally had the respect of the entire company from that point forward. It wasn't his education or his previous experience at Boeing that earned that respect. It was the inspection and the freedom he gave everyone to be honest without consequence. People respect what you inspect, not what you expect. Rule number three, knowing my limitations as the leader. As a woman in trucking for almost 30 years, I had to develop pretty thick skin very early in my career. I had to humbly learn the ropes of dispatch from seasoned guys who had retired from a life behind the wheel to a life driving a desk. I took a lot of heat from guys on the road for many years and was often asked, what could you possibly know about driving a truck? And that answer was simple. I didn't have to know how to drive the truck. What I needed to know was how to route a fleet in the most efficient, safe, and profitable manner possible. As it turned out, the best way to do my job was to learn what it was like on their side of the phone. Back then, we talked to each other, remember that, and didn't text each other or PeopleNet each other. It meant asking questions about their day and listening to their experience. It meant learning to hear what they were saying in their tone of voice without coming right out and saying it in their words. While my job did not involve knowing how to drive the truck, it helped that I try to understand the challenges my fleet faced on a daily basis. As I said in my opening words, I am not a safety expert. I cannot recite regulations chapter and verse. I have never filled out a logbook or driven a semi over the road. Although one time I did back up a tractor trailer in the parking lot at Autumn on a dare. And I also talked the yard jeep driver at King into letting me spot trailers on the dock once to see if I could do it. It's my job to foster a culture of open communication, accountability, and teamwork, and hopefully have a little fun along the way too. I'm not on Facebook, I don't do Snapchat, but I do have an Instagram and Twitter account and LinkedIn. I rarely post anything on either because it takes me forever to figure it out. But I sure like to read everyone else's stuff and follow along. Oh, to be a young person today that finds this to be second nature. My limitations as the leader are glaring in this area, but I recognize the importance of it and encourage its use as a key part of advancing our culture. Just don't ask me to be in charge of it. Both King and Autumn have robust social media platforms. In the last 3 years, there has been some fierce competition between the two companies on who can outdo whom. I love healthy competition. The awesome byproduct of this is the social media influence on people who are never in the building. That's our customers and contractors alike. Our business model at Autumn is one that our contractors rarely come back to the Woodbury office. They lease on, are married to their trailer, and take the equipment home with them. Our social channels fill the gap that's created when our customers and contractors don't get the face-to-face interaction of being local. We still give the feeling of family, service, leadership, and integrity in every post and every retweet. This builds a culture that goes thousands of miles outside of our four walls. Our partners on the road want to be a part of that culture, and they don't want to be the one who lets the team down. Rule number 4, get out of the way and let them do it. Let your trusted team work the plan and get out of their way. This is the newest rule for me. When I began to split my time 50-50 back in 2021, I had already begun working myself out of the day-to-day at Autumn. I had trusted a group of 3 on my executive team that had clearly expressed their abilities to live by the values on the wall. I'll be the first to admit, my tendency tends to be that of a control freak. The biggest step I've ever taken in my career was the step away from the day-to-day to trust the team to do everything we had done in practice every day, every month, every year, and then let them just do it. It wasn't very long after the acquisition of King that I realized the greatest disservice I could do to either team was to overstep and try to do their jobs. Again, the control freak in me was sure tempted, but I know my limits. The right people want to have more responsibility. They want to grow. They want to feel proud of their accomplishments. They are smart. They have shared values. They have better ideas than me. They want to have my back without me constantly looking over their shoulders. Get out of the way and let them do it. In conclusion, I want to talk about feelings. I'm a woman in trucking, and yes, I still have a few feelings left after 30 years. It's impossible to create a good culture without loving your people. I mean truly loving them, all of them. Your highest performers, your grinders, your bean counters, your receptionists, your million milers, your wrench turners, your nerds, your introverts, and extroverts. When you love them, understand them, teach them, value them, trust them, invest in them, and believe in them, they will safely move mountains for you, whether you are in the building or not. The effort to do this is great and is totally worth it. Thank you.
That concludes this episode of Trucking, Success, and Safety. Thanks for listening, and make sure to subscribe to Trucking, Success, and Safety. We can be found on all major podcast streaming platforms, including Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeart, or you can listen to episodes directly through our website at mntruck.org/podcast. That's mntruck.org/podcast.